On today's episode of Locked Up with History, we'll be looking at the life and times of Edward IV and his sister-in-law and lover, Ellen. What drove Edward to hit a man with an axe to the head? Stay tuned.
Warning. This podcast contains discussions of some potentially distressing topics. Listeners, please be advised. Come with us for true and tall tales unsurpassed, with stories from Victoria's dark colonial past. Spirits, executions, ghosts, murders and ghouls. These are the stories they don't teach you at school. All these twisted tales of mystique and mystery coming to you now on Locked Up With History.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Locked Up with History, Episode 9. My name is Deb Robinson, and on today's episode, we're going to explore the story of the Fuller family, in particular, Edward and his relationship with Ellen, a story of jealousy, infidelity, and murder. Now, if you've ever listened to me on a radio interview, read an interview, or watched a live stream of me talking about the Geelong Jail, you will have heard me mention a spirit by the name of Edward, who watches over me at the jail. Well, this is Edward's story and what brought him to the Geelong Jail, seemingly for the only time he ever stepped out of line to the wrong side of the law in his entire life. And I will tell you of some of our encounters with Edward in the present day a bit later, and why we think he is still at the Geelong Jail. Now, there are several people involved in the Fuller story, and it might help to give you a little bit of their backstories before we get to the events of May 1869. Firstly, we have the two brothers, Edward and Thomas. They were the eldest sons of Thomas Fuller and his wife Anne, née Kerr. Thomas had arrived in Victoria from London in 1843 and Anne arrived from Ireland in 1842. Now, Thomas and Anne were married in St Mary's Church, just up the road from the jail, on the 23rd of April 1843. And the couple went on to have 11 children, all born in Geelong. Thomas was the eldest son and was born in 1843. He would become a baker and married Ellen Desmond at the Trinity Church in Geelong in 1861. Now, Ellen was born around 1843 in London and she arrived in Melbourne in 1860 aboard the Ocean Home as a bounty immigrant with domestic work lined up with a family in Geelong. The couple moved to Ballarat where Thomas was working as a draper's assistant and the couple would have three sons. Thomas was the firstborn in 1862, but unfortunately he died in infancy. Frederick was born in 1863 and then Joseph in 1865. Now, Thomas left Ellen and the children not long after the birth of Joseph. Originally, it was thought he'd gone to New Zealand to find his fortunes, but after the murder, it was found that he was actually in Gippsland, to where they tried to summon him to be responsible for his boys. Now, William Danaher, the ultimate victim in our story, was born in County Limerick in Ireland in 1827. He joined the 18th Irish Regiment and went on to serve in the Crimean and Indian Wars. In 1863, the regiment arrived in Australia from New Zealand and William left the regiment soon afterwards. By 1867, William was working in Victoria on Dr. Stoddart's property, where he worked for two shearing seasons with a man by the name of John Tucker. In 1869, William was a contractor for Mr. Cameron up at the Lee. Now, Edward Fuller, our other brother, was born in Newtown in Geelong in 1844 and worked as a labourer. After his brother left, Edward began a relationship with Ellen, which is not an uncommon turn of events in the 1800s to take up with your brother's wife, especially if their children were involved, kind of kept the family all together, although generally it was after the death of the spouse. Now, Edward was living in Geelong where he worked for Walker Roberts. Roberts allowed Edward to buy items at cost price, allowing him to set up a small shop for Ellen in their home in Noble Street, Chilwell. Ellen gave birth to Edward's son, also named Edward, in 1868, And there was very little else to bring Edward to the attention of the papers or anyone else until that fateful night in May 1869.
If you'd like to visit some of the places featured on Locked Up with History, book in a tour with Twisted History. For the full range of tours and to book, visit twistedhistory.net.au.
Alan had met William Danaher about 4 months or so before the murder, although no details have been recorded as to where or how they met. It may have been when he was staying with John and Margaret Dempsey across the road from Edward and Ellen's house on one of his visits into town. But however William arrived on the scene, what is obvious is Ellen's feelings for him. Now, about 3 weeks before the murder, things came to a head between William and Edward, over Ellen, of course. Ellen had left the house saying that she was going to visit Mrs. Harris in Ryrie Street in town. However, she met up with Danaher near the Sawyer's Arms Hotel, just up the road from where Ellen and Edward lived. Now, Edward arrived soon after being obviously suspicious, and grabbing hold of Ellen's arm, said, "Come on, let's go." Ellen objected, and saying she was going to see Mrs. Harris. When Edward insisted, Danaher punched him in the face, knocking him to the ground. He then knelt on his chest, saying he would knock his insides out of him. There was a large height difference between the two men, with Edward being only 5'4", while Danaher was 5'9". Nevertheless, Edward replied with, "Don't molest me." Eventually, Ellen would go to her friend's house, being escorted by both men. The trio would part ways, with Danaher heading to an oyster saloon in Geelong and Edward following Ellen home. Now, on Tuesday, the 11th of May, 1869, William Danaher, in company with a workmate by the name of John Tucker, again headed towards Geelong. Now, the two men parted way at Finesford, with William commenting that there was a woman in Chilwell who wished to marry him. But he did neglect to mention that the woman, who we now know as Ellen, was already in a relationship. Around lunchtime on the following day, May 12th, Danaher was sitting at the kitchen table at the Fuller House. Ellen had purposely left the kitchen door open so that Edward would see him when he came home. And that's exactly what happened. Edward arrived in his employer's Mr. Roberts' wagon about 12 p.m. and, seeing Danaher at his kitchen, would ask Ellen if she knew he was down. When Ellen replied no, Edward said he would not be home that night. Now, during the afternoon, Danaher would send one of the Fuller boys across the road to the Dempseys for an axe so that he could cut some wood for Ellen. When he finished cutting the wood, Ellen invited Danaher in for dinner and would fetch him a glass of ale. Ellen then invited Margaret Dempsey over as well, who remained until about 4 o'clock when she left to fetch her husband. She returned with her husband John about 10 minutes later. The four would pass the rest of the day, drinking with Ellen sitting by Danaher's side. At some point, Ellen would bring the axe inside and leaned it against the kitchen wall. Now, Edward returned about 7 p.m. and I inquired whether the big one was still there. When he entered the kitchen, he told Danaher that either he or Edward must leave. Danaher replied with, "Sit down, make yourself comfortable and don't worry yourself. I won't go, as I'm as good as company as you." Edward replied, "I don't doubt your word." Edward moved from his position in the kitchen door to pick up some clothes from behind the Dempseys before going into the shop attached to the house to gather the rest of his clothes. Ellen followed him with baby Edward, putting him down on the box with the comment, "If you're going, you can take your brat with you." Edward removed the child from the box and placed him safely on the floor. Ellen picked him up and returned to the kitchen, giving the baby, Edward, to Margaret Dempsey. Ellen sat back down beside Danaher near the fire. Edward then returned to the kitchen and asked again for Danaher to leave his kitchen, to which he replied no. Edward then said, "I pay the rent and you have no right to be here." Again, Danaher laughed, along with the rest of the table, including Ellen. Edward made to leave, but the laughing and jeering at him continued. Edward turned, picked up the axe that was leaning against the wall, and attacked William Danaher with the axe to the left side of his head. Danaher slumped to the floor, where Edward struck him once, maybe twice more. Ellen grabbed Edward's arm to try and stop him, and Margaret Danaher fainted at the first blow. Edward left the axe, throwing it over the fence into George Hansen's yard next door. Ellen then went to the now insensible Danaher, lying on the floor in a pool of blood, before going next door to get some assistance and then to a nearby chemist. She then returned to the house. Ellen spotted Edward on the opposite side of the road, where he asked her to shake hands with him as he was going to destroy himself. Mark Coy, who happened to be walking past, responded to Ellen's cry for help and asked Edward to accompany him to the Newtown Watch House, which he did. He was quiet and dejected, asking only for a cigarette along the way, as it would probably be the last that he would get. Edward told Coy that if they had only given him his clothes, he would have left quietly, but they began to laugh and chuckle at him, remarking that he wasn't big enough to take on Danaher with his fists. At the Watch House, Sergeant Jeremiah Toohey would caution Edward and place him under arrest. In the meantime, back at the Fuller House, Constable O'Grady accompanied the now insensible William Danaher to the Geelong Hospital for treatment. But there was no treatment to save William Danaher, and he died of his injuries on the morning of the 14th of May, 1869. The charges against Edward were upgraded to willful murder.
For a fascinating look at life in a colonial prison, visit Geelong Jail Museum. Situated just over an hour from Melbourne in the heart of Geelong, it's Victoria's most intact and longest continually operating colonial prison. For information, search for Geelong Jail or call 1300 865 800.
The inquest into William Danaher's death was held at the Geelong Hospital on the 15th of May before Forster Shaw and a jury of 13 men. Ellen testified that she had been cohabitating with her brother-in-law Edward for 2 years and that he had been giving her all his wages for support of the house and rent, except for what he required for his own clothing. That Edward had purchased all the items in the shop at cost from his employer Walker Roberts for her to sell in the shop. It also came to light that Edward had asked Ellen to marry him. The papers squarely pointed the blame for the events on Ellen, which may have had something to do with her having children by two brothers. Edward was described by his employer as being a steadfast worker who'd been employed with Mr. Roberts for over 5 years. Sergeant Toohey testified that after he had arrested Edward, that he had then returned to the Fuller House and located the axe in next door's yard, just as Edward had said. There was no blood on it, as it had landed blade first into the ground. Toohey then entered the house and finding a large pool of blood near the door, with a sack having been laid over it to soak up the blood. John Dempsey's testimony led to a warning from Forster Shaw to both the witness and the crowd, who had commenced laughing at his testimony. Shaw reminded them that a man's life hung in the balance because of his actions. Dr. Reed testified that he first saw Danaher around 9 p.m. on the night of May 12th when he was brought in by Constable O'Grady. He was completely insensible with two large wounds to the left side of his head. The front one about 2.5 inches long and the one behind about 3.5 inches long. They were deep, with the bone of the skull visible in the wounds. The skull was extensively fractured and depressed into the brain. Dr. Reed removed a piece of the skull that was fractured and splintered to relieve the pressure, but to no avail, as Danaher would die from his injuries, never regaining consciousness again. The postmortem was also carried out by Dr. Reed, who found that the skull was heavily fractured and splintered with numerous cracks in different directions. The jury found that William Danaher came by his death on Wednesday, the 12th day of May, in the year aforesaid, in the house of Edward Fuller, Noble Street, Chilwood, and the colony aforesaid, that the said Edward Fuller of Chilwood Geelong, colony aforesaid, did with an axe, which the said Edward Fuller then and there held in his right hand, strike the said William Danaher on the left side of the head and repeat the same twice or thrice, causing the injuries of the said William Danaher, who did linger or lingering, did live in the Geelong Hospital until the 14th day of May, 1869, when the said William Danaher then and there died. And so the jurors aforesaid, on their oath aforesaid, do say that the said William Danaher, in the means aforesaid, came by his death and that the said Edward Fuller is guilty of causing the death of the said William Danaher. Now, Edward would be tried before Sir Redmond Barry at the Geelong Circuit Court on the 11th of October 1869, with much of the trial taking up with the laws of provocation, referring to a particular case in England in 1833. The jury had to consider if the defendant acted while still smarting under a provocation so recent and strong that he might not be considered, at that moment, of being in control of his own understanding. The jury obviously agreed, and Edward was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 3 years hard labour. Edward would initially be sent to the Geelong Jail from where he had tried to escape while on remand. In September 1869, while in a cell with three other men, Edward had attempted to escape. They did this by removing some of the bricks and hiding them in their beds, but unfortunately it was discovered and their escape plan was ended. Edward served his sentence in a variety of locations and was well behaved for the most part. He served time at Pentridge, on the hulks of the Sacramento and the Deborah, and finally at the Port Melbourne working on the defence works. He was released to freedom on the 21st of October, 1871. Now, Edward pretty much disappears from the public record from this time until his death at the Geelong Hospital on the 1st of March, 1915, aged 69 years from stomach cancer. He never remarried or had any other children. But Edward was not the only Fuller to serve time behind the bluestone walls of the Geelong Jail. In fact, Ellen and two of her children were also here. Ellen ended up serving two terms of imprisonment, the first for events just days after the death of William Danaher. On the 16th of May, 1869, just 4 days after the murder, Ellen was observed walking with her three boys opposite the house, acting kind of suspicious, by a local journalist by the name of Michael Middleton. A labourer named Philip Holmes also saw Ellen walking outside in the garden with the children and then leaving the house. Smoke was soon coming from the house. The alarm of fire was given just as people began to emerge from the nearby Methodist church. Philip Holmes, Robert Dunkley, James Gill and neighbour George Hansen all raced to subdue the flames and stop it from spreading to nearby properties. They found a smouldering mattress, but the fire was taking hold and all that could be saved was a table and two boxes. Ellen would later admit to Sergeant Toohey that she had set the house on fire with matches, setting alight a mattress and other parts of the house. She was confined to the Geelong Jail until her trial, also before Sir Redmond Barry at the Geelong Circuit Court on the 11th of October, 1869. Now, Judge Barry remarked that Ellen's conduct was inexplicable, as there was no apparent motive for her setting the house on fire. During the trial, Ellen had pleaded that she had absolutely no memory of what she had done. There must have been some feeling for Ellen, as she was only sentenced to 1 month imprisonment for her crime. The owner of the house, John Maloney, lost a lot more as the house was not insured. With both her parents now in the Geelong jail, it left a problem of what to do with the Fuller children. Frederick was 5, Joseph was 3, and baby Edward was only 1 year old. All three would be charged with being neglected children. Baby Edward was immediately placed into the industrial school for the maximum 7-year term and was sent to Princes Bridge in Melbourne. He would remain in the system until the 22nd of May, 1884, when he was 18 years old. Frederick and Joseph were held for a week while the authorities tried to find their father without success. He had last been heard of in Stringers Creek in Gippsland in 1866. Both boys would end up being committed for full terms and spent time in the Meyer Street Industrial School in the Geelong Jail. Now, Frederick was released on the 31st of May, 1879, when he was 16 years old. But Joseph was not so lucky. He died in the Geelong Jail, aged just 5 years old, in January 1871, of convulsions. Now, Ellen served a second term of imprisonment later that same year when she was discovered heavily pregnant, sleeping in a cardboard box in an abandoned house. She had sought help from the hospital and the Benevolent Society, but to no avail. Ellen was homeless and pregnant. The magistrate, when she was brought up on vagrancy charges, put her back in the jail so that she would have care and attention while she gave birth. And Ellen did give birth to a baby boy named James in the Geelong Jail on the 13th of December 1869, attended by Mrs. Burns, a local nurse. But James only lived for 5 weeks, dying on the 20th of January 1870 of diarrhoea and thrush after being bottle fed for 2 weeks when Ellen lost her milk. Ellen, on her release, headed to Bendigo, and it was here in September 1872 that she married an Italian man named James Fornari. On her wedding certificate, she states that she was a widower since August 1868, but she was actually still married to Thomas Fuller. The couple had 8 children in total and ended up moving to New South Wales. Ellen died in 1893 at Moreau in New South Wales, where she'd be running a boarding house. Ellen had taken her own life by taking arsenic. You have to wonder, was she ever truly happy?
You're listening to Locked Up With History.
And so our long saga of the Fuller family comes to a close. Or does it? I promised you at the start that I would tell you some of Edward's story today. Edward is most definitely still around the Geelong Jail in spirit form and quite often makes his presence known. Edward's spirit first made himself known to us back in about 2015 when he used to play up with the staff on the gallows. One of our investigators / mediums was walking under the gallows when she got a sharp pain to the left side of her head, just as William Danaher had all those years ago. Coincidentally, I had been researching Geelong murders that week, and I knew exactly who it was. Now, in the early days, Edward was a rather cheeky spirit who seemed to take great pleasure in tormenting our ghost tour guides by pulling their hair or the backs of their skirts. With myself and Jody, the investigator who'd identified him, he was a little bit more full-on. He would wait till I was in a certain cell on the gallows and would make me feel like I was going to throw up. As soon as I stepped out of the cell, I would be perfectly fine. This went on for a couple of years until my MS had progressed so that I was no longer regularly going off the ground floor. After a period, Edward came looking for me. We had a week where a customer or staff member fainted in the exact same place in the room with the morgue table for 5 days in a row. There's nothing in common, not the same guy, different size groups, different temperatures. It just didn't make sense. We ended up with a couple of us going in with a spirit box, which is a tool that can be used to communicate with spirits. And from some of the responses, we were able to work out that it was Edward. I told him off, as I do, and we finished up the session. The next night, Sam, who had been with us, was the investigator on a public investigation. When they got to the kitchen, which is across the hall from where we'd been the night before, she was using the spirit box, and through it came, "Where's Deb, Sam?" which was pretty cool. Now, Edward seems to look out for me. One day I was at the jail on my own and ranting about something that had annoyed me during the day, and it wasn't really anything important. But however, that night, one of our guides rang me to ask if I was okay, as Edward was really worried about me. Even as recently as a couple of weeks ago, we had a special event at the jail and I'd worn a dress and some makeup. Not something I do very often at the jail. However, another staff member came up to me to say that Edward said that I looked very nice. I'll take compliments from wherever I can get them. Now, why would Edward attach to me and still be here at the Geelong Jail when he really spent very little time here in life? Well, I think it has to do with finding the story of the Fuller boys being here and Joseph and James dying in this place. I believe he knew that I would eventually be able to find them and to be able to tell his whole story, which is what you've heard today. I find it comforting to have someone looking out for me while I'm at the jail, even if he is a convicted murderer from 1869.
Interested in learning more about this episode? Join the Locked Up With History Facebook group for more facts and discussions about the dark colonial past of Victoria and beyond.
Now, before we wrap up the story completely on the Fuller family, as usual, don't forget to check out our webpage at www.lockedupwithhistory.com.au, where you can find all of the previous episodes and some of the photos for them as well. You can even see my face there if you're really interested in who I am. Of course, you can listen to all of the episodes on your favourite podcast streaming platform. Now, if you have any questions or would like to discuss any of the episodes, you can join us over on Facebook and the Locked Up With History group. This is where you can ask me any questions on the current episodes and where you can view, again, some of the media that we have associated with the episodes. On our next episode, we will be looking at the very first private execution inside the walls of the Geelong Jail. It's the story of James Ross, who murdered his infant son and his neighbour's wife. Until then, see you on the darker side of history.
For more information on the story from today's episode, check out the show notes or join the Locked Up With History Facebook group. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.